We're just going to look at one verse today for our use and edification. Just one verse. And see if it's not so in your life. I know the younger we are, the less likely this is proved out, but the older we get, it does. It does. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 19. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Gad was in the tribe, obviously, of Israel. They were a warlike tribe. They were skillful in the ways of warfare and the weapons of warfare. But according to this verse, as we would say, I guess, contemporarily, you win some, you lose some. Gad shall be overcome, but not at the end. More particularly, Gad is like every believer ever to walk in this world. Sometimes we're overwhelmed, sometimes we're overmatched, and sometimes we fall. Sometimes our adversaries are too much for us. And I mean adversaries, I mean Satan. He'll like to sift you as wheat. The world likes to draw us in, dangle pretty things in front of us, and we go running after them and forget our God. Money, titles, positions, friendships, all these things can allure the believer. But then there's a worse enemy we have, and that's ourselves. That's the flesh. The old man, the corrupt nature that will never get any better until we're in the grave. Satan, the world, and our old vile flesh, it rejoices at our failures. It mocks our remaining sin within us. And it rejoices to see us going after the things of this world foolishly. And we all do it. But just as the game is not over in the first half, the latter part of this verse, so too we shall at the last have our sweet triumph in Christ Jesus. I remember when the Rams won the Super Bowl, it was back and forth, back and forth. And I had a friend in Tennessee who said, if we just had one more half. No, you stop. At the fourth quarter, it's over. You stop at the second half. So there is no. There is no. That's what these people, the psychiatrists, psychologists, and these people like to play vain games. Well, what if you were in this situation, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'll just wait till I'm in that situation. I'm not going to play those mind games. It does not profit. But Christ's people, like Gad here, we may be trooped upon, trampled upon, laughed at, mocked, or even martyred. But rest assured, Romans 8:28, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him, Christ, that loved us. Christ is our banner, and we know that His banner over us is love. Mr. Bunyan said, at the last, that means forever, for nothing can come after the last, period, end of paragraph. Let's look together at a few passages and a few examples. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7. And verse 8, the first part of this verse, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing, spiritually speaking, this book is a spiritual book. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We were born in sin to begin with. That's not profitable. Ruined by Adam's fall, and this showed itself out or proved itself out in our daily actions towards God, which we could care less if there was a God. We cared about ourselves. We cared about our position in society, our this's or that's. We didn't want people to think bad of us. So we would do certain things in front of them, make sure that they saw us. But that's not, doesn't glorify God. That doesn't glorify God. Better is the end of a thing. To be as we are or were in our birth is only to hear, depart from me, you who work iniquity. If we don't change, if nothing changes, if our spiritual status does not change from birth, this is what we're going to hear. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. But oh, the grace of God came along and came among men. We heard the sweet notes of his everlasting gospel. He caused us to repent, believe, and be baptized unto him. Better indeed is our end than was our beginning. Philippians, you can stay there, Philippians. Chapter 1 and verse 23 says, "For I am in a strait," says Paul, "betwixt the two, having a desire to depart, to die, to be at the last, and to be with Christ, which is far better." Far better. We surely get beat up. We overcome. We get overcome all the time. All the time. Well, let's look at several examples in scriptures. Turn with me to Ruth. Turn with me to Ruth. And you know the story. Chapter 1, "And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his two sons." Verse 3, "Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Then her two sons died." Verse 5, "Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." So she didn't have any sons. She had daughters-in-law, but no more, the husband and sons. So then she doesn't know what to do. So you know the story. She goes, she leaves empty. There's a famine in the land. She leaves. She's full. And then everything she knows is gone. That has died. So now she's in a strange land. Everything is taken from her. She's in a foreign land with foreign gods. She's in a pilgrimage just like us. This is exactly what we are here. It doesn't make a difference if it's the most wonderful little town in America. There's ungodliness here. Everywhere you look. She's left her land and she returned empty. But God, who is rich in his sovereign free mercy, visited both Naomi and Ruth. And they, by the grace of God, overcame at the last. Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. "And the women of that land," back in her own country, "the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher in thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it upon her bosom and became nurse unto it. I would say that that is, she was overcome. I don't know how long a period. It may have been, you know, it may have been 70% overcome, 30% overcoming. It may be 90% overcome by the world and the flesh and the lust of the eyes and 10%. But I know this, God will not forsake or abandon those whom he foreknew. He can't do it. And so Naomi was an object of God's grace. How these women, Naomi and Ruth, they did not deserve the least of God's favor, but they found it in a kinsman, is what the scripture says, what this book says. They found in a kinsman, and we know who our kinsman redeemer is, Christ Jesus the Lord. There's where mercy is to be found. There's where grace is to be found. Apply to him or go to him and seek him. In your time of being overcome, seek him. Seek him. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Verses 1 through 15, the story of the demon-possessed Gadarene. And there came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes, Christ with his disciples. And when he was come out of the ship, Christ, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, for no man could bind him, and no, not with chains, and because he had been often bound with fetters and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Always night and day in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That's part A. Gad will be overcome. That's us right there. Overcome. That's at the first. What about at the last? Verse 15. You know the story. Christ has mercy and compassion on them. He sends the legion of demons into swine, and they go over the precipice and kill themselves. In verse 13, Christ forthwith gave the legion leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. About 2,000, they were choked in the sea. And they that fled the swine, swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what was done. And here's after. Here's Gad overcoming at the last. And they came to see to Jesus, and saw him that was possessed with the devil, that had the legion. He was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Now, everybody who doesn't believe the gospel, that last phrase, and they were afraid. People do not like when you hear the gospel. People do not like it when you come and hear where the message is being preached, and you come, do something else. You've got so many other things to do. No. Look, I'm going to hear the gospel, because that the Lord could use that means to save my soul, my friend's soul, my children's soul, my family's soul. This demon-possessed Gadarene at the first was cutting himself and crazy and wild. At the last, he overcame with the grace of God, which is found only in the sovereign Savior. This will always be the result, the spiritual healing. Sitting, clothed in Christ's righteousness, and in our right mind. The world, they say we've gone mad, that we're fanatics. No, we see things aright. Only by the grace of God. The world is upside down. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. verses 19 to the end of the chapter. You know, you're familiar with this one as well. The rich man. And Lazarus, the rich man, was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's people that think that they're so well-to-do that everything is fine. They want for nothing. That can turn on a dime. What does the scripture say about money, about riches? They're fleeting. Not only do we fade like a leaf, but riches are here. They have wings, the scripture says. So don't think that because you have it nice now, you'll have it nice tomorrow. This man fared sumptuously. There was another man named a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with crumbs that which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Well, that's his before. How do we find Lazarus? Laid at the gate, open sores, desiring to be fed. Dogs licked his sores. That's pitiful. Oh, how sin has ravaged us through and through and through the fall. This is us. The scripture says in Romans, there's none good, no, not one. I as I'm reading this, and I'm not making light of it or being lighthearted about this, but Lazarus, do something for yourself. That's what religion says. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Exercise your free will. Do something for yourself, Lazarus. Okay, if not, do something for God. Better yet, do something for humanity. Do something about this climate. Do something about this political situation. You can't do a thing. Nothing. This is how vile and corrupt we are. Can't do a thing. This is what we are from birth. Ruined, ravaged, and undone. God in Christ must become sin for us to be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But he ended up in hell, lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off, and he's Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's still selfish. He's wanting to take what Lazarus has now away. But Abraham said, son, remember. Constantly remember. That's probably a little bit of what hell's going to be like. Opportunities to hear the gospel. Care less. Did something else. This society we live in today, there's always something to do. We were talking not too long ago, Wednesdays, because Baptists, most of the time, they didn't do anything. Wednesdays is not sacred. Sundays are not sacred. It's got nothing to do. The world, it's 24/7. Remember that in your lifetime you received of thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you're tormented. I think that's a constant reminder. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that when you would pass from thence, you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, here he goes again, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father. For I have five brethren, and he may testify unto them, that they, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham's answer to him was this, they have Moses and the prophets. The Bible. You start messing with the Bible. Well, it's got a little air here, a little air there. I'm not sure I'll take this. I'm going to rip Ruth out. Esther doesn't mean anything to me. Ezra, the law and the prophets. This book. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Matter of fact, the New Testament wasn't even written yet. So that's all they had. And it says, Christ says, they are they which testify of me. And then Abraham says, nay, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, if I went unto them from the dead, they will repent. This is what he said. You don't believe the scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And Abraham said unto him, another rebuke, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. If they will not hear the preaching of the gospel, that's why, and I'm nobody, and I'm nothing, and I know I take my bottom rung at the feet of all these other grace preachers, but I will not back off and say I do not preach the gospel. I will say I do preach the gospel. Bring the people, bring them here. It's better than a CD. It's better than a tape, because this is the Lord has ordained the means to gather together. I declare, this is what Lazarus' end was. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You will hear his gospel, and you will believe the account of Christ and trust him, if he so chooses to draw you unto himself. There's so many other scriptures. Lynn and I were talking about this one, had to just limit it. There's more and more and more. Thief on the cross. The woman with the issue of blood. She was overcome. But at the last, grace overcomes. Grace overcomes. So I close. How do we overcome? How do we overcome the sin and flesh and Satan and the world? Well, as I said in Romans 8:28, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. We're more than conquerors. But let's close. Look at Revelations chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12. Verses 9, 10, and 11. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame. How do we overcome? Satan, the world, the flesh, by the blood of the Lamb. That is the only way. I'm not going to offer you, I'm not smart enough to offer you self-helps, how to pray, how to be a better father or a better mother or better children. I don't have that wisdom. But I know if you look to Christ and beseech him for mercy, cry for the blood, you'll overcome at the last. Not by works that we do, but by Christ's pure and truthful work, by his substitutionary accomplishments for all his people at Golgotha. Because if we're left to ourselves, we will never overcome, but will be overwhelmed in hell's fire forever. So I beseech you and beseech me, come, I say, to Christ for protection today. Look to him and live. Bruce, would you close us?